Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
We're on the penalty kill tonight, Dave.
Mike, is it just you and I today?
It's just you and I, as you can tell. It's season change sinus season. So, as you can tell, my voice is gone. Maybe I should do the show in my NPR voice tonight.
Yeah.
To save it.
Yeah, maybe this will be an abbreviated show so you don't strain yourself.
Nah, balls to the wall, man. If anything, you're just going to hear my voice. You're just going to hear my voice crack like that Peter Brady puberty episode. Remember?
You're very dedicated. Yes.
It's a compulsion. Last week, I didn't do the show. We didn't do the show, and I'm like, we can't do 2 weeks in a row. We cannot do 2 weeks in a row because then 2 weeks becomes 3 weeks, and this thing slowly dies. I've seen it happen before.
Right. I appreciate and am very impressed by the amount of stamina that you have with your bad voice.
Ooh, thank you. Yeah. Yes. Well, I might last longer than my voice. We'll see how it goes. But, Dave, it's been a very big week for my demographic. First, the big news is that Blink-182 is not only reunited, but Mark Hoppus, the bass player slash co-lead singer, he beat cancer, so he's well enough to go out on the road. And Tom DeLonge, the guy with the that guy, he has rejoined the band. And so they are going to reunite and go on a world tour. And I was very excited to get tickets, Dave, and I'm still going to try to be at my computer at 10 o'clock on Monday to get tickets. But I'm looking at these pre-sale prices on Ticketmaster, and my excitement has been dashed.
You know, it's interesting. I saw your post about it, and I'm like, I think all you put was like Tom's back or something like that, and I was like, "What's he talking about?"
Right.
So, doing some thorough research, I then found out about the reunion of Blink-182. Read this whole big article about him coming back, and then the other guy,
Matt Skiba,
and then also what's his face, who
Travis,
who survived the plane crash,
yep.
Married to Khloe Courtney Kardashian, right?
Courtney, yes.
Courtney, and now he has overcome that. He went on a plane ride for the first time in 14 years. I kind of went down the Blink 182 wormhole, if you will, based just off of your post that just said that you were so excited that Tom was back.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't necessarily excited that Tom was back. I'm more excited that Mark is healthy enough to play, because when he revealed his cancer diagnosis, you weren't sure if you would see him play ever again. And the short story of Blink-182, back in the early 2000s, there's some tension in the group, obviously. Mark wanted to go one direction. Tom wanted to go the other direction. Tom started his own band with Travis called Boxcar Racer, and then he went to Angels and Airwaves, and then and they kind of kept it together. They broke up and got back together, and then 2015, Tom left the band. Matt Skiba, lead singer and guitarist from Alkaline Trio, joined the band, and now he's out, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, myself included, I'm like, okay, they just throw Matt Skiba out, but you know, I did some research myself, and he said in a 2019 interview that he kind of knew this was temporary. He would say to Mark, you know, Tom's got to come back eventually. And then today, Tom wrote a very nice letter to Matt Skiba about keeping the band together while Tom was out chasing aliens, because he got very into aliens conspiracy theories. And so everything seems all hunky-dory until you go buy concert tickets.
Now, this is at LCA they're coming?
It's at LCA.
How much are, like, is the cheapest ticket?
Well, right now on Ticketbastard, the cheapest ticket, and this is left over from the pre-sale. They're going to release more to the general public. The cheapest pre-sale ticket is $349.
Really?
Which is $100 more than this When We Were Young Fest that was also announced yesterday, because Blink-182 and Green Day are co-headlining it in 2023, and there's a ton of bands from, like,
and where's that going to be at?
That's in Vegas.
Ooh.
So, like, this is like a Warped Tour revival, one day only. Offspring, Good Charlotte, 32nd of Mars, huge bands. And tickets to this are $250. So,
now,
really, if you bought tickets to this, You would save $100, but I did hear that they did have some $69 nosebleed tickets available, which is a little steep, and it's very not punk, but I might have to
now
bite the bullet and try for the $69.
We do have an FM sister station here that maybe you can somehow work some magic to get some tickets to this, maybe?
Maybe, but that's not guaranteed. I'd rather have a ticket in hand.
I get it.
Because, I mean, I took my brother to Green Day at the last time they played Joe Louis Arena, and I had tickets, and then the FM station had tickets, so I bought those tickets, which were better, and sold my other ones on StubHub. So maybe I'll do that, but I would like to have some tickets in hand. But I don't know, Dave, how much... I should know this about you. I've known you long enough. I don't know who your favorite band is, favorite bands are.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you be willing to see them play?
You know, I really wanted. So I did see Billy Joel when he was here recently, but that was for free. I wanted Elton John, but then again, both of those were like pandemic ones that had gotten postponed.
Right.
I think the last time I spent money was when Guns N' Roses got back together at Ford Field, and I think we paid $65, maybe?
I think I might go upwards of $110, but that's it. That's it. I mean, I don't have boomer money here. You know, like when the Eagles, you know, come to town, it's like $200.
Right. I would.
I'm not in that tax bracket.
You know, like I'll spend stupid money to go, you know, travel to watch the Denver Broncos play.
That's And that would have been a better comparison,
I think. And the way they've been playing lately, even that seems a little insane these days. But you know, as far as bands are concerned, not a huge concert guy, so it's I guess probably I'm probably the wrong person to ask about how much I would be willing to spend to go see a favorite band of mine.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, nostalgia is an emotion, and people are willing to pay more money for emotions.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's a little disappointing that tickets are that expensive.
Well, I think we need to work to hook you up with some tickets to go see Blink-182.
If you know people, let me know.
Yeah.
My wife would love to go too. All right, Dave, let's get into your stack of stuff.
First story we got tonight, both you and I found this story, actually, and it's about the new iPhone 14.
Ah, yes.
And the new line of the Apple Watches. So these models, they feature this crash detection, which can recognize when you've been in a serious car crash and it'll alert emergency authorities, you know, or any important contacts you might have. So there was a Wall Street Journal report that came out. And it says the feature doesn't always work as intended. And the example they gave was a woman was carrying an iPhone 14 Pro while riding a roller coaster at an amusement park in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Kings Island.
And when she checked her phone after the ride, she noticed several missed calls and voice messages from an emergency dispatcher.
And I actually think this is a pretty good feature. However, it sounds like there's some glitches that need to be worked out. I mean, could you imagine being a 911 operator?
Right.
And you get a call. I mean, think of what it would sound like with a bunch of people on a roller coaster screaming. So you're a 911 operator. You answer the call. All you hear is a bunch of people screaming and nobody's answering you where the emergency is.
Yeah, and so Apple could not be reached immediately for a comment, but in a statement to the journal, they said that the feature offers peace of mind and the developers would keep improving it. So I think over time, it will get improved. And like with any new technology that comes out, you have these glitches. But this is not the first time that the health feature has caused an issue. According to this article, back in 2020, the Apple Watch that they used to measure the heart rate. Remember when the heart rate came out?
Oh, yeah.
To measure? So
the Fitbit.
The fibrillation of the heart, you know, the arterial fibrillation. So apparently it was falsely sending people to emergency rooms. Apparently there were 264 people that were sent that went to the ER because the watch said they were having the fibrillation.
So it's like the watch told them to go to the emergency room, or did it send an ambulance.
It said
you need to
go to
the ER. Right.
Your heart is in distress. But only 30 received a clinically actionable cardiovascular diagnosis of interest. I like how that's worded.
I mean,
after visiting the doctor. But again, new technology. I still applaud Apple.
I'm not crazy about 911 resources being tied up for something that's not an emergency. But I think if they can work out the bugs, it's a worthwhile feature.
Right.
All right, Dave, I'm going to say this gingerly because as you can tell, I sound like absolute horse crap. But
yes.
Next topic.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yes.
Speaking of horse crap.
Yeah.
Great news yesterday. Alex Jones in a civil lawsuit brought to him by the parents of the Sandy Hook victims. He is going to be forced to pay, and there's no way he's going to be able to pay this. What this will do is they'll put him out of business.
He says no.
Well, so he's the parents of the Sandy Hook victims were awarded like $900 million from Alex Jones, and Alex Jones is essentially losing everything. But it pales in comparison to what these parents lost. These parents who he got rich off of telling lies about. He got rich off of re-victimizing him. He got rich and his acolytes would harass these people who lost their children in this tragic accident. They would get death threats. So, yeah, $900 million is a lot, but it pales in comparison to the people he victimized. And you know, I was talking with someone, and they said, well, monetary damages are too light. I'm like, I agree. This guy is a serial First Amendment abuser. But I think what it will do is put him out of business. Now, obviously, you know, Dave, we're doing this. You know, it costs, what, like $40 for webcam and like $100 for a mixer. So he'll probably do something like this. However, he won't have the resources to reach as big of an audience. But what he could do is play this hero martyr thing where like, oh, they're trying to silence me, so make sure you listen, and we're really going to stick it to him. But there's not many people I wish bodily harm on, but this guy is just disgusting, and the penalty should be double, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
You know, he said that he was going to appeal it, obviously, and he said that his company was going to still stay in business. I would assume he's got some high-priced attorneys that he's obviously filing bankruptcy protection for, you know, for something like this. So,
well, hopefully nothing else. Maybe the legal battle will keep him bankrupt.
We'll see. But, you know, it's not like they can't go after him civilly too. So
And then on the other end of the coin here today, this was a shocking verdict to me. The shooter in the Parkland, Texas school shoot. I'm sorry, Parkland, Florida school shooting. I'm not going to say his name. I don't learn these people's names because I agree with the narrative. Once it's already reported as public record, then you don't have to put their name out there. But this guy went to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School back. It was Valentine's 2018, which is, I'm guessing this guy was a major incel. Killed 17 people, and he in Florida, who is very death penalty happy. At least I always thought Florida was big on the death penalty. They gave the kid life in prison.
Yeah, and the parents were just in shock. I don't think that they felt that justice was done.
Absolutely not.
For life in prison. What is he? He's 17, 18 years old?
He's 24 now.
Right. So, obviously, no parole, life in prison. And they probably, all the parents were probably just like, you know, and I can't blame them. I can't blame them for thinking that this was not what they wanted and justice was not served.
Now, I mean, there are some people out there who talk about prison justice, and usually sex offenders and people who hurt kids usually have the roughest go in prison. So, I mean, things aren't going to be
saw that his mom said that she hoped that the system would take care of her son. I don't know if that's going to happen, though.
I mean, look, here's the thing. There are some people who don't deserve a second chance.
100%.
Yeah, you know, to me, the criminal justice system serves one of two purposes. A, to rehabilitate someone and make them, give them a second chance and help them rejoin society. Or B, keep dangerous people off the street so they can't hurt people.
Right.
Obviously, this guy falls into the second category. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm not a big, you know, not with my tax dollars guy. But, I mean, at this point, you kill 17 people, you're not a human being. You're a carbon-based life form sucking up the state's resources.
I would agree.
I don't know. I don't know the logic behind a life sentence unless... You know, you think he's going to suffer more behind bars his whole life. And I guess that depends on what you believe about the afterlife already.
Right.
If you're religious, you said, all right, send him to hell where he belongs.
Sure.
Faster than normal.
Right.
But, you know, if you're not religious, then maybe you think that life in prison's a worse punishment because the death penalty is a way out. But
I'm not so sure if I know if life in prison is worse than death, or I'm not sure I know which one is worse.
Yeah, but I think you're right, Dave. To me, everything I've heard from the parents is they're all devastated.
Yeah.
So, all right, next topic.
Interesting story here out of Dubai. A company called Play.ht, a voice synthesis company, has published a fictional podcast, and this is just a test with artificial intelligence, in which comedian Joe Rogan is interviewing Apple's founder Steve Jobs.
So not the real Joe Rogan talking to recordings.
No. So
like, remember when Weird Al used to do that on MTV back in the 80s?
So the podcast uses realistic voices digitally cloned from both men, and its first episode in a series called Podcast.ai, a weekly podcast engineered entirely generated by artificial intelligence. So what they're doing is they're taking snippets of Rogan's voice and Steve Jobs' voice, and they're digitally putting them into the podcast. So you're not hearing necessarily anything that's new. You're hearing Steve Jobs talk about Google, Microsoft.
But it's not pre-planned, right?
No,
it's like
the Macintosh computer and the story, and then Joe Rogan asking him questions. But it's not actually, they're having a discussion, but it's just cleverly placed parts of each of the voices done. Although Joe Rogan's podcast was out 2 years before Steve Jobs passed away, Jobs was never on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Well, Joe Rogan probably wasn't the juggernaut, you know, top podcast, legitimate media outlet that he is now in those first 2 years.
Right.
If you're Joe Rogan, though, are you like, what the hell? I'm still alive. Let me talk to the artificial intelligence.
Right. So the company is also taking suggestions for future episode ideas and popular choices for these artificially intelligence-generated interviews include Elon Musk interviewing Nikola Tesla, Kanye West chatting with Bob Marley, and Donald Trump interviewing himself.
So, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Would you listen to any of these?
I don't think so. I mean, I would listen for 5 minutes out of morbid curiosity, but I wouldn't sit there and listen to 3 hours of Robo Rogan talking to Robo Jobs.
Right.
You know, I might actually be more interested in hearing real-life Joe Rogan interview this artificial intelligence.
Right. So a number of startups are now promising digital immortality through chatbots.
Yeah, and I wonder, I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know, are people going to do this with, like, their dead loved ones?
Right. So you know that recently James Earl Jones, he signed over the rights to his Darth Vader voice to artificial intelligence technology to feature in Disney's Obi-Wan Kenobi TV series. So... And it worked out great. I don't know if you saw Obi-Wan, but it was awesome.
I mean, didn't The Simpsons do that with Phil Hartman and Troy McClure after Hartman died?
They might have. I don't know.
But, I would actually be more interested in hearing AI between two dead people than someone who's already alive. Because,
like I said,
Joe Rogan, his art is the interview. And
so give me your ultimate artificial intelligent podcast with two people that you'd really want to hear, dead or alive.
I'm sure this would change if I got
on the spot.
If I got to think about this.
Yeah.
But I myself would have always loved to have interviewed Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone. I mean, the Twilight Zone, you know, it's campy and it's in the style of the 1960s TV show, but the writing and the storylines are still relevant
today. Now, who would you want Rod Serling to talk with?
Maybe Wes Craven.
Oh, that
might
like
be good.
That.
Yeah, and
like
I'm going with two dead guys because I don't
like
want
that a lot.
I would listen to an alive person maybe interview AI, but if the person's alive, I don't want to hear their AI. I want to hear like them.
Got
so,
it. Okay.
What about you, Dave? Before we move on,
you know, that's an interesting question. Probably I would like to hear Wilt Chamberlain. His AI talking
with Ron Jeremy because they've banged so many chicks.
Maybe
Peter North.
I would
Ron
expect,
Jeremy's still alive.
I was going to say Bill Russell.
Okay. Here's the other thing. You know, these people who aren't necessarily interviewers, it might be very boring. You know,
it might be. I don't know because all they're doing is just taking snippets and editing them together.
Right.
So I guess how creatively of I guess how creative the editor is going to be will make it either better or worse.
So are you just editing video together, or are you like programming it and then it's going to
be... What they're doing is they're taking, well, in Steve Jobs' case, they're taking old snippets of his, like, you know, announcements of Apple products and then and interviews that he may have done and then editing them in, talking to Joe Rogan.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's just them taking sound and editing it together, that's not a big deal. But if they have no like preconceived plan and it's just like two Alexas talking to each other but with a mind of their own, you know, that's to me that would be the story.
Yeah, so
but
it's kind of interesting.
And you know, I mean, so many things are being automated. The art of the human conversation, that seemed to be one thing that could never be automated,
right.
Now kind of is. So, you know, eventually we're just going to be robots. We're just going to be food and drink receptacles.
Right.
So speaking of spooky stuff, Dave, Fox 2, in conjunction with a website called Ghosts of America, sounds credible, put out the top 10 cities for ghosts in Michigan. I'm going to give you a couple of guesses. But, Dave, have you ever had an encounter with a ghost?
I have not. I would love to have an encounter with a ghost.
Not me.
I know you and Rich are against ghosts, beings, orbs.
Because you don't know if it's a ghost or if it's a demon.
Yeah, either one. I would love to have a discussion. With either
an AI discussion.
Yeah, I would love to have a discussion with a ghost. Or I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in the psychic world. I don't believe that those little specks and pictures that they call orbs. I don't believe
right.
In,
they could just be dust.
I don't believe in any of that stuff. But,
I mean,
but if it were to happen, I'm for it.
I'm not convinced. But I'm also not going to spend the night in Eloise Asylum either. So
yeah, I would do that.
100%. So when I was in 10th grade, we were doing this project for World Lit, Dante's Inferno. And so we knew of this really creepy, really old cemetery on the back, like just off a bike path. And so we filmed the scene from Dante's Inferno there. And my buddy was playing, maybe it's the devil, I should remember all these characters, but he was the spectral tour guide, and he was wearing this cowboy hat and like this long trench coat. And as we were leaving, my buddy was in front of me, and then out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw my buddy standing in the opposite corner of the cemetery, but he was right in front of me. So that was kind of weird. And then I went downstairs, and we were doing this goofy thing where I was pretending to be this monster down there, and I was biting heads off of action figures, and we heard a baby cry. And we had this all on video, and I don't know where it went. And so we went upstairs, because at the time, my buddy had like a three-year-old niece. And so we went upstairs, and we said, you know, is niece here? And she goes, no, they haven't been over all day. And so we told his mom, who was a medium, and she goes, damn it, I just cleared this house. You better not have brought anything back. So then
really?
What we did,
really?
and this buddy of mine was, he was a very clever trickster. So we thought he was putting us on. So the next few nights, we just kind of kept the camera rolling. He slept in the basement, and we just pointed it at the basement. And this one night, we're watching, nothing happens, and then across the shot, just a bowling ball rose by itself. And then the camera's propped up on its dresser, so it makes three moves, and then the third move, it falls down into a drawer, and it's pointed down at the floor of his basement. And it's by those drains, you know? And you could see on all sides of this little pen cap that was there, this pen cap just started spinning as if somebody flicked it. And then we hear this dragging sound, and this mirror comes across the shot. And we're watching this. We're like, Larry, you're so full of crap, you know? We're watching for, like, the string and everything. And it goes across the shot, and then it just cuts off. And so, and we never figured out if Larry did it, how he was able to do it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So, and, God, we showed it to all our friends. One of our friends took it to show his friends. We haven't seen it since, but... I don't know. Maybe I'll send him a message and be like, hey, do you remember that ghost video?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. Dave, I'm going to let you have a few guesses. What do you think are some of the top 10 cities for ghost sightings here?
Well, obviously Detroit's got to be one because I know they think the Whitney in downtown Detroit's haunted.
Actually, you know what, Dave? I guess this is per capita, so that's going to be... I think Detroit's not on it, which I'm surprised.
Okay.
But yeah, the Whitney, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of murder.
Right.
And going on. Go ahead and give me another guess.
Traverse City.
No, but that's a good guess with the old mental hospital there.
Yeah.
Which is now a delightful collection of outlet stores.
Correct.
These are all things I would have guessed. No, go ahead. Do another guess.
Muskegon.
Yes, number two.
Yes.
Now, why did you guess Muskegon?
We used to travel to Alpena back in the day, and Muskegon's right by Alpena, and we used to hear stories that there was some haunted stuff going on in Muskegon.
I remember from when we were a kid. There used to be a water park there. I don't know if
yes,
Pleasure Island.
So I can't see
what
that at the sore subject. So every time we went to Alpena,
okay,
with my family. We actually went to Whitehall. Actually, it was Whitehall.
I have no idea where that is. But.
Okay, so Whitehall. It was Whitehall, not Alpena. Whitehall was really close to Muskegon. So every year we used to go rent a cabin with my aunt and uncle and their family, this house in Whitehall. And every year we're like, we're going to go to Pleasure Island because they had this great water slide called the Black Hole.
Yeah, it went through the... It was built into a hill.
Yeah, okay. And every year was the same thing. Yeah, we'll go. And then we got there, and it was like, you had this beautiful lake. Why do you need to go to a water park? And we never got to go.
There was a lake at the water park.
We never got to go. I was so bummed as a kid.
By the way, I was too scared to go on that black hole.
What? Come on.
Yeah, sorry, Dave. I love me a lazy river.
Oh, man.
All right, tied for 10th, Port Huron makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
A lot of shipwrecks, a lot of lighthouses.
Sure.
Morenci, which the only thing I know about that place is that big story of those kids who went missing from Morenci.
Right.
Flint.
Okay.
Makes sense.
All right.
Taylor.
Don't know anything about why Taylor's so scary.
I've lived downriver for about 8 years. I haven't heard anything about Taylor.
All right.
Although I do hear that Zach Bagans, the guy from Ghost Adventures, he got into the paranormal because he lived downriver and he had an encounter with a ghost. But I would think Trenton because Trenton's got an old hospital, which is supposed to be
right.
Menominee. No idea, no clue. Tied for 6th, Jackson, which makes sense. They had a prison there.
Right.
Oscoda, know nothing about
Oscoda.
Oh, God,
used to go to Oscoda, too, all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any childhood trauma from there?
No,
ghost-related?
No, they have a golf course up there, Lakewood Shores, that we go to sometimes. There's an old military base up there that I think is still working. There's not much to do up there.
I only know Oscoda because the kid who grew up behind me... his parents got divorced, and his dad moved to Oscoda. So every other weekend, we couldn't play because he was in Oscoda.
There is nothing to do up in Oscoda, okay?
Paris, Michigan, I have no idea about. I think these two should be lumped together, Bay City and Saginaw. They're the same thing.
Correct.
But there was this there was this whole series. It was on like Amazon Prime about all the haunted places around Saginaw and Bay City. Number two, Muskegon. And number one, I would not have thought of, but it makes sense, Monroe. Because they have that battle, they have the River Raisin battlefield, and you know, Gettysburg is one of the most haunted places in the United States. Yeah. So, there you go, your top 10 cities for ghosts. All right, Dave, take us home with your last topic.
So this one, I thought of you immediately, and I don't quite know why I thought of you when I saw this story, but your boy, Elon Musk.
When we're apart, you miss me.
You know, that's probably it. He's selling a new perfume called Burnt Hair. Coming out with a new perfume called Burnt Hair.
While I appreciate the directness, I don't know if I would buy that scent if it does, in fact, smell like burnt hair.
Apparently, it's going to be $100 a bottle. Okay. It's set to start shipping in the first quarter of 2023. And he launched, a test up for it, and apparently he sold 10,000 bottles and earned $1 million in just a couple hours of this test stuff.
Could you imagine being so rich that just like a whim makes you $1 million freaking dollars?
Yes. My favorite part of this story is that the website description of his latest offering, Burnt Hair, quote, "the essence of repugnant desire."
So does it really smell like burnt hair?
I don't
know. Or does it smell like cologne? That's just its name.
I'm not sure. You know, he's been very successful with everything else he's done, from SpaceX to Tesla to his boring company to...
not to buying Twitter yet.
I mean,
but that's back on the table.
But that's coming, you know. But I'm thinking that if we can get all of the Whatever Dave listeners to pitch in, I'm thinking a Christmas gift for yourself or maybe Rich.
Yeah, give it to Rich. I might be allergic.
Elon Musk's new $1 million, his $100 a bottle,
I'm allergic
to hair perfume.
I'm allergic to unstable billionaires. So, you know what, though? If it does smell like burnt hair... That's not even the weirdest celebrity scent.
What do you think burnt hair smells like, even?
I mean, you can... if you walk into, like, a salon, you can smell it.
Yeah.
It's not like, terrible, but it's not anything I'd want to smell like.
Yeah.
Gasoline is one of my favorite offbeat smells. I'm a big fan of gasoline.
Really?
Yeah. I don't smoke marijuana or clove cigarettes, but I like the smell of them.
Do you?
Maybe it reminds me of like being a kid or something. I don't know. That's a weird thing to say.
That is kind of a weird thing to say, especially since you're like a kid of the 90s, aren't you?
Well, like a teenager and like going to like concerts and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But like I said, that's not even like the weirdest celebrity fragrance story. You remember when Michael Jordan had his own cologne?
I do remember that.
And the big draw is that there's Michael Jordan sweat like mixed in there.
Right.
And then Gwyneth Paltrow, she came out with a scented candle that was supposed to smell like her lady parts.
Yes, I do remember that too.
So if you put it in that context, burnt hair is not all that weird.
That's true.
All right. So my voice survived. Not gracefully, but here we are at the end of the show, and I'm still talking.
Well, hopefully next week we'll have Rich back, and
hopefully your voice
will be back into normal form, and there you go.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Shout out to Paul. He was the one person who asked us if there'd be a new show on tonight, because he realized that we didn't do one. And I decided not to use the "he's at home washing his tights" drop for Rich, because I feel like Rich kind of owns that one.
Yeah, I would agree.
I feel like it'd be disrespectful.
Yeah.
All right, hopefully we'll all be back next week. Bye.